The message is called Trusting in the Living God. Look at 1 Timothy 4:10. It says, 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. Paul says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach." You know, every day of our lives, we demonstrate the principle of trust. Some people will say, "Well, I don't believe in that faith stuff." You ever hear that? "I don't believe in that faith and that trust and all that." Then, you know, that's not true. Now, maybe they don't believe in faith in God or faith in Jesus Christ, but everybody exhibits trust every day of their life. Every day they exercise faith. You say, "What are you talking about?" Hey, if you're going down the road, a two-lane road, and there's another car coming at you, and literally you're going to go by him, and there's going to be 2 feet, 3 feet in between you, you are trusting that that guy is not going to come over and hit you head on. He's not going to be texting. He's not going to be talking on the phone. You trust. You go down every time you get in your car. It's trust. Folks, I got two teenagers driving. Let me tell you, I stay prayed up. One of them has his permit. The other day he was driving and he's pulling in between into our subdivision, and there's a car over here and metal railing over here. And he's going in between the two, and I just tried not to say anything, but I just kind of reacted. And I went, "Ooh!" And I grabbed stuff. My 16-year-old goes, "Man, Dad." He just shakes his head. I said, "What?" He said, "You're too stressed out." I said, "Mate, you stress me out. You give me a stress headache, son." Ah. Every day we exercise trust. Can I get an amen, huh? You get a prescription from a doctor's name that you cannot pronounce. And you get the prescription that you cannot read. You take it to a pharmacist you do not know and trust he's going to put the right medicine in the bottle. That's an act of faith. Hey, when you eat at a restaurant, you ever look around at everybody else eating? You see everybody else sticking those forks in their mouth? You do know they reuse those forks, right? You trust the dishwasher is doing his job, amen? You trust that dish. I think about that stuff all the time. Maybe I'm weird. I don't know. Maybe you don't. I do. I look around and everybody's stuffing the forks in their mouth. Man, I hope the dishwasher's on the job, you know. But you work a job. And you trust that you're going to get paid at the end of the week. You go to an amusement park and you ride a roller coaster. That is not an act of faith. That's an act of insanity. As far as I'm concerned, that's an act of insanity. I know you think it's fun, but you know what? One of our teenagers, I was in a park with him. He said one of the smartest things I've heard come out of a teenager's mouth in a long time. I said, "You ride those things?" He said, "Nope." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Because I just don't trust that the guy putting that thing together got all the screws in the right place." That's a smart kid right there, you know. But yeah, you trust they put the thing together right, and the guy running it knows what he's doing. You know, you go surfing in the ocean out here, trusting you're not going to be shark bait. Now, I don't, but other people do that. Hey, have I made my point that we exercise trust every day? Do we not? Every day we exercise trust. Every day we exercise faith and trust. If you trust in something, it means that you have confidence, you have hope, and you have expectation. For example, you exercised trust today when you came in and you sat down on the pew or you sat down in the chair up in the balcony. You had trust. You expected it to hold you up. Am I right? You expected it. That's the idea of the word trust. It means expectation. You expected it to hold you up. Therefore, you rested your weight upon it. All right? So, we understand the word trust here. With that understanding, look at 1 Timothy 4:10 again. "For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach." Why? "Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Not some, all men. So he said, you know what? We trust in the living God. We have hope, expectation, and confidence in the living God, who is the Savior, which means deliverer. He's the Savior of all men. That's a reference to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Savior. Look at this verse on the screen, Philippians 3:20. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see the deity of Christ, once again, shining forth through the pages of God's Word. When he talks about the living God, who is the Savior of all men, that is a reference to our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, hey, I got good news for you today. Jesus Christ may have died on the cross, but he's not still dead. He is alive and well. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's our intercessor. He's our mediator. He is our advocate. He's our redeemer, and he is our Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ, every day, listen to me, every day the believer should trust in Jesus Christ, not just for your salvation. That's just the beginning. Then you trust him day by day. Paul didn't say we trusted in Christ. No, he said we labor and suffer reproach because we trust. That's an ongoing thing. We trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. He is our rock. Jesus is our foundation. He is our life. He is our sufficiency in everything. I like the hymn, that old hymn. I love this hymn. It says, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him, over and over is what that means. He says, I trust in you, Jesus, because I have proved you over and over again. And then he goes on to say, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace. In other words, I need more grace to trust you more. To trust you more. To trust you every day, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, walk with a faith and a trust in Jesus Christ. The word trust carries the idea of confide, confidence. It's like I said, you sat on the pew because you had confidence in it. You trusted it. And that's the idea of the word. Faith, you know what faith is? Faith is taking God at his word and completely trusting him with your life. It's taking God at his word and completely trusting him. Just like you're resting on that chair or on that pew, it's you resting. I'll give you a great illustration. There was a missionary translating the Bible for a South Seas island tribe, and he discovered they had no word for the word trust or faith. Well, that was giving him problems because, you know, that's a big part of our life is our faith, our trust in God. And so he didn't know how to translate. They didn't have a word for faith or trust in their language. So one day a native came running in. He came into the missionary's house and he plopped down on this big chair. And the native said, it's good to rest my whole weight on this chair. And the missionary said, that's it. I'll translate faith as resting one's whole weight on God. Resting one's whole weight on God. When we live our lives with a daily trust in Jesus Christ, what's the result? Well, look at verse 10. Look at what the result is. For therefore, we both labor. Why? He said, because we trust in the living God. That word labor means to work hard. It means to feel fatigue. And notice he says, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Jesus Christ's death is sufficient for every person in the world. But yet people have to make a choice whether or not to accept him as their personal Savior. And that's why we use that phrase. You'll hear us say, have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? What we mean by that is there's a broad general sense in which Jesus is the Savior of all men, as that verse says. But that's not teaching universal salvation, which is a doctrine that teaches that everybody's ultimately going to end up saved in heaven one day. That's not what that's teaching. When it says he's the Savior of all men, what that means is that there is a sense in which he gave his life on the cross, and it is sufficient to save anybody. It is sufficient to redeem anybody. It's sufficient to take anybody to heaven. He's the Savior of all men. He didn't just die for some. He didn't just die for an elect few. He is the Savior of all men. He shed His blood. His cross work is sufficient to save anybody. But, He says, especially of those that believe. There has to come a time in your life when you choose to accept Christ as your personal Savior, in which you say, you know what, I'm going to believe on Him. I'm going to trust what He did for me. I'm going to put my faith, my trust, I'm going to put my weight, I'm going to rest completely upon Christ to save my soul. There's a sense in which you have to do that and make Him your personal Savior. I am so thankful today, how about you, that I don't just have to say, He's the Savior of the world. I'm glad to be able to say, He's my Savior. He's my personal Savior. Why? Because I believed. I've put my trust in Him. Now, if anybody ought to be laboring in Christ's work, it ought to be the believer who has firsthand knowledge of His incredible saving grace. I mean, we should want to labor unto Him. As a Christian, we ought to want to labor. Why? We trust in the living God who's the Savior of all men. He's changed our lives, and we want Him to change other people's lives. I remember when I got saved as a teenager, nobody had to beg me to serve. Nobody had to twist my arm, you need to serve Christ. Nobody had to guilt trip me. Nobody had to twist my arm. Nobody had to beg me to serve. Man, I remember I wanted to serve the living God, the Savior of my life. I just wanted to serve Him. Now, I want you to understand that when He talks about laboring unto Christ is not just something that happens on Sundays. It's not like, I labor for Christ. Oh, yeah, I labor in the Lord's work. I sing in the choir, or I work the Welcome Center, or I'm a greeter, or I work in a kids' class, or I teach a life group, or I work in the nursery. Or I work in the hospitality room, or I work at the Welcome Center, or at the information desk, or I work out in the parking lot. Now that's part of it. But laboring unto Christ isn't something that just happens on Sundays. Now stay with me here. The believer is daily, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Daily we're walking with Christ, we're trusting Him in everything that we do. Christ is magnified and He flows out from us in all that we do. Not just on Sunday. We are His servants 24/7. Look in your handout at Colossians 3:17. It says, "And whatsoever ye do," that's pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? Whatever you do in word or deed, in action, whatever you do in word or action, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, what does that mean when it says, whatever you do, Christian, do it in the name of Jesus? Well, that doesn't mean that you leave a tip in the restaurant and you tell the waiter, hey, I'm leaving that tip in the name of Jesus. Say you're a kid and you're out here pitching on the mound, and you wind up, boom, you strike a kid out. And as he's walking back to the dugout, you say, I struck you out in the name of Jesus. You're in your car. And you ever get behind a slow driver on a two-lane road and you can't get around them, but you finally get around them and you say, I'm passing you in the name of Jesus, amen. That's not what that's talking about. When it says, whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus, what that means is this. The name of Jesus speaks of identification. So it means that whatever you do in your daily life, you do it in a way that can be identified with the Christ who lives within you. It isn't something that you necessarily verbalize to everybody. It's not something you necessarily say. Now, certainly we ought to be ready to talk to people about the hope that's within us. But it's not necessarily something you always go around verbalizing. But it's an attitude of the heart and mind. You are mindful that you represent Christ in everything that you do. You are laboring unto Him in all that you do. You're doing it as unto Him in everything that you do, not just on Sunday. It's like in the handout, there's a great passage there. Look at it, Ephesians 6, kind of, get your pen ready. I'm going to have you underline three statements here, okay? Look in your handout, and it says, servants, that would be like workers today. Be obedient to them that are your masters or your boss, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart. Now notice, underline this, as unto Christ. He says, when you're doing your job, you do it like you're doing it unto Jesus Christ. Look at the rest of it. not with eye service as men pleasers, but, underline this, as the servants of Christ. As the servants of Christ. Okay, let's read on. Doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, doing service, underline this, as to the Lord and not to men. Hey, did you see when I'm out there in my everyday life, did you see what my attitude's supposed to be? Whatever I do, I don't care if it's at school, at college, high school, at work, at home, dealing with my kids, dealing with my neighbor, at the mall, at the gas station, at the gym, on the ball team. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter what it is you're doing. Whatever you do in word or deed, he says you do it as unto Christ, as to the Lord, as the servants of Christ. So if I'm doing something in the name of Jesus, that means I'm doing it in a way that it could be identified clearly with the Christ who lives within me. Okay, I'll give you an example. I mentioned the mall. Say I'm out here at the mall, and I don't go to the mall unless I have good reason to go to the mall, unless I got something and I want to get in and out in record time, you know. But if I go to the mall, and I go there, and I want to return an item, okay? So say I got to return this item, and so I go in, and I find out my, you know, I'm 2 or 3 days past what I'm supposed to be able to get a refund. So the lady behind the counter, maybe she's a little snippy or whatever, and she's like, oh, this receipt, you know, you're 2 days late. You cannot get a refund on this. And so, oh, man, I get mad, and I get frustrated, and I start kind of huffing and puffing, and I start trying to intimidate her, and I think if I get mad enough, I'll get my way. And so I start kind of throwing a fit, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the fit, the employee looks at me and says, I know you, don't I? And my face gets red, and I go, I don't think so. And then she says, yeah, I know. Don't you go to Crossroads? Sometimes. Wait a minute, I know you. You're the pastor. You're the guy up there preaching. Now, what's the problem there? No, now, the problem's not that I'm the preacher. All right, don't say that. The problem is this. The problem is I forgot, didn't I, that I am to be laboring unto Christ in everything that I do. That's the problem. I forgot I'm supposed to be doing it as unto Christ. That means whatever I do, in word or in the action, I do it in a way that could be identified with the Christ who lives within me. You say, Pastor Dan, I get frustrated. I get angry. Man, I get upset sometimes. People. Right. I know. That goes back to the issue of trust. When it's Dan Proctor living and doing, it's usually not good. When I'm trusting Christ to live his life through me, it's always good. When I'm trusting Christ to do it through me, it's always the right thing. It's always good. It's always acceptable. It's always a great thing. It's always holy. Great verse. Look in your handout there on the front page at the bottom, Colossians 1:29. Look at this great, they're one of my favorite verses. Whereunto, Paul said, I also labor. That's what we're talking about. I labor, Paul said, because I trust in the living God. Well, look what this says. I labor, striving. All right, so man, I'm busy at it. I'm working hard, but notice, according to his working. That's Christ in the context. He said, I'm laboring and I'm striving according to Christ working. Which worketh where? In me mightily. Hey, when I labor, I'm supposed to do it with a trust in Christ working through me. Oh man, we get this all messed up. I did for years. You know what I thought the Christian life was all about? Bring it up on the screen real quick. This is what I thought the Christian life was all about. I thought it was about focusing on what you can do for Christ. That's what I thought the Christian life was all about. Man, I focus on what I can do for Jesus. You know what I found out? After years of spinning my wheels and getting frustrated, I can fix that. You know how I can fix that? I can fix that real easy. By the way, what's the word within the word Christian? A little bit louder. What's the word? Christ. You know what I found out the Christian life is? It's not focusing on what you can do for Christ. Go ahead and click it. That's the Christian life. It's just focusing on Christ. It's being in love with Jesus. It's looking to Him every day. Paul said, I'm laboring according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. It's about folk. I found out it's just about me keeping my eyes on Jesus. It's about me focusing on Him. You see, for years, go to the next slide, I thought the Christian life was this. Go ahead. What I can do for Christ. You know what the problem with that is? That starts with Dan Proctor. And I told you, when it comes from Dan Proctor, it's usually not very good. Christine, it's not that funny, all right? I thought the Christian life was what I can do for Christ. You know what? I amaze you by this. In the New Testament, it never talks about living for Christ or living for Jesus or living for the Lord. No, that's about me. See, what I can muster up, that's why you don't see Paul using that phrase. It's not about what I can do for Christ. Go ahead and click it again. The Christian life is all about what Christ can do through me. What did Paul say? We trust in the living God, the Savior of all men. We trust in Him, therefore we labor. We are laboring. Yes, do we serve? Yes, we serve. Do we labor? Yes, we labor. Do we strive? Yes, we strive. Man, I remember when I got saved, I wanted to serve the Lord. But I had to learn the longer I was saved. It wasn't about Dan picking himself up by his bootstraps and going out and trying to do something for Jesus. It was about focusing on Christ, loving Him, adoring Him, setting my affection on Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, and trusting Jesus to do His work through me. And when I do that, now my labor is going to be something of value. I labor. Why? Because I trust in the living God. But look at the second thing. Verse 10. He said, look at verse 10 again. For therefore we both labor. Wait a minute. There's something else. And suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. So number two is not only do we labor willingly, but number two, we suffer willingly. We suffer willingly. He said, we suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. You know, suffering is many times a great test of trust. Suffering is a great test of trust, right? Yeah, I remember as a kid, do you ever scrape your knee? And you scrape your knee all up and it's bleeding. And you remember your mom bringing out a bottle of this stuff? And said she had to put it on there, and it stung like the dickens, didn't it? And you know what? You let mom apply it because you trusted her. If mom said, I got to have it, even though it hurts, I'm going to let her put it on. When my kids were little, whenever they wanted to play, they came to me. Whenever they got hurt, guess who they wanted? Mama. I remember she said whenever... She would always talk about, damn, why do they always get hurt, you know, when y'all are playing? And I remember sometimes I didn't want them to run inside to mom. I wanted to try to fix it up myself. And so they would get hurt, and they'd be crying. I remember one time Caleb fell off his bike and got all, you know, messed up. And it was terrible. And it's hilarious because I can do the same thing she does, but it's no good, see? And I... Sometimes when I would try to fix up my kids when they were little, they would say to me, just get mom. They trusted her. One time Caleb fell off his bike, got all banged up, and he started weeping and crying. And so I kind of fixed him up. We took off on the bike, right? We still had a ways to get home. He quit crying and hadn't cried for a long, long time. And as soon as we rounded the corner on our street, he tuned up again. because he wanted mom to know he was hurt, you know. And he went in bawling and crying. I'm just like, oh, boy, here we go, you know. They trusted mom. Now, I got a golden retriever. He weighs 80 pounds. Let me tell you, he trusts me. He trusts me. And I mean, sometimes I got to clean his ears and I got to do things that I know hurt him. They're painful to him. But it's as if he just stands there and goes, I trust you, Dan. And I mean, he just lets me do it, even though I know it's hurting him, you know. If Pastor Shannon tried it, he'd probably bite your hand off, you know. But he trusts me. You let that doctor do that surgery knowing there'll be pain involved. Why? Trust. My mom had her other knee replaced this last year, the end of last year. She knew there was going to be pain. She knew it good and well, but she did it anyway. She trusted the doctor. You see, what am I saying? Suffering is many times a great test of trust. Now, nobody wants to suffer. We all want a pain-free life. Nevertheless, the Bible warns repeatedly that suffering will probably come to the believer. Go to the right a couple pages to 2 Timothy, all right? Go to the next book, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at this, verse 11. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:11. Now look at the first two words, persecutions, afflictions. Man, we don't like that, do we? Which came unto me at, names three cities, Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Remember, he's the Savior, right? Savior means deliverer. He said, out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, hey, question, church. He said that out of all his afflictions, the Lord delivered him. How did the Lord deliver him? Did the Lord swoop in and catch him out? No. Look at verse 11. He said, what persecutions I, and what's that next word? Hey, do you know how God delivered him? God gave him the grace to endure those trials. Paul called this church age the sufferings of this present time. Many times we suffer because Satan is called the prince of this world. Did you know the world system that we live in, that evil, wicked world system? You know Satan's the author? He's the instigator of that. He's the architect of that. And we have to live in it. Till we get to heaven, we got to live in Satan's world system. And it says in your handout that sin and suffering are woven into the fabric of this world system. Sin and suffering are woven into the fabric of this evil world system we live in. So therefore, pain is inevitable. It's going to happen. You're going to hurt. There's going to be pain. There's going to be afflictions. Paul went through them. God, have you noticed this? Those of you that have been saved for a while, you've been through some trials. You've been through some afflictions. It's like that song we did in the choir, Even in the Valley. You know? How many of y'all ever been in the valley? Amen? All right. Have you ever noticed God doesn't always just swoop in and lift you out of the valley? You ever notice that? Have you ever noticed he doesn't just swoop in and take you out of your suffering? But have you also noticed, those of you that have been in this a while, have you noticed that he always gives you the grace to endure the suffering victoriously? Sometimes our suffering can result from our love and dedication to our Savior Jesus Christ. Sometimes our suffering can result from our love and dedication. Being a follower of Christ isn't always going to win you a popularity contest, is it? Our captain suffered reproach, and as his soldiers, he's the captain, he suffered. As his soldiers, sometimes we're going to be called upon to suffer reproach for him, with him. Sometimes the Christian has a clear-cut choice. I can either have the riches and the approval of the world, or I can suffer the reproach of Christ. Do you know Moses was confronted with that? Look in your handout. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing. Look at that word. Choosing. Rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. When you're trusting in Christ daily, you stand for him. Paul said we suffer reproach. Why? Because we trust in the living God. You see, when you're trusting in Christ daily, I'm not just talking about on Sundays now. I'm talking about you wake up in the morning, buddy, you put your feet on the ground, and you know you need Jesus. And you go through the day knowing how much you need Jesus. Remember, trust means you rest upon it. You put your confidence in it. So all through the day, you're resting in Christ, depending on Him, putting your confidence in Him. Lord, I need You as I go to work. As you're heading home, Lord, I need You. All through the day, you recognize, I can't do it without You, Jesus. You have to do it through Me. Remember what we read? Whatever you do, talking about your daily life, He said, you do it as unto Christ. You do it as if Jesus is right there. And when you do that, you're not afraid to swim upstream against the current of this world system. You may lose power. You may lose possessions. You may lose popularity. You may lose promotion. But you trust in Christ. Trusting Him brings boldness in our daily walk. Many believers get upset at God when life brings suffering. They just suspect that God is kind of giving them a raw deal, you know. And that, you know, God's just not being fair. And that demonstrates a lack of faith, a lack of trust in His Word. Why? Because God warned you suffering was going to come. It's not like God didn't tell you. If you study this book and specifically study Paul's writings to the church, you can't help but know God warned you suffering's going to come. You live in Satan's evil world system. Like we said, sin and suffering's woven into the fabric of it. You're not going to get through this life without some heartache, some pain. You're not going to get through it without that. It's going to come. But God warned you. He told you. It's like my mom. You know, my mom had the knee surgery in October, and she gets all mad at the doctor. Why? Because I've got pain after this surgery. Well, no, she doesn't get mad at the doctor. The doctor told her that was going to happen. So she doesn't get mad at him when the pain comes. She was told she was going to have pain. And in the same way, don't get upset with God. God warned you that sin and suffering and all those things, it's part of this world system, and which means that pain's inevitable. It's going to happen. You know what I found out about the Apostle Paul, though? Paul not only learned to accept suffering and pain, he actually embraced it. Not because he liked to suffer. He didn't like to suffer any more than the rest of us. The reason why he learned to embrace it was because he made an interesting discovery. And that's this. When he suffered, it reminded him of how much he needed Christ. And that's a good thing. Would you all agree that we need to be reminded of how much we need Jesus? Huh? And it caused him to trust Christ, and Christ's power could flow through him in a greater way. Paul said, we trust in the living God, therefore we labor and we suffer reproach willingly. Now look at verse 11. Look at the next verse. I'm sorry, go back to our text. Go back to our 1 Timothy 4. And look at the, right after he gets done saying, we labor, we suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. Verse 11, I love these things, command and teach. He says, Timothy, hey, what I've told you, man, listen, brother, you need to make sure you remind the believers of this. Make sure you command it. Make sure you teach it. Make sure people know this, that you know what? If they love Jesus, if they're trusting in Him, if they're walking daily by faith in Him, nobody has to twist their arm to labor. They're not going to be on a pity party when they suffer. No, he said, we willingly labor and suffer reproach for Him. Why? Because we trust in the living God. We trust in the Savior. He said, now make sure you teach this to people. Well, that's what I'm doing today. And, you know, would y'all agree music is a powerful teaching tool? It teaches, doesn't it? Those of you who listen to music know it. You're being instructed as you listen to the music. And, you know, the Bible says teaching one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I want to bring up a song right now as Miss Rochelle comes to the piano. And you know, we sung that earlier in the service. The guy who wrote that knew what I was preaching today. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That's trust, isn't it? It's what I preached. We trust in the living God. Have we trials and temptations? Well, yeah, we're going to have those, we said. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Trust in the living God, we said, who's the Savior of all men. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We labor. Oh, we serve. And we even suffer reproach if we have to, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Let's go back one slide, and I want you to do this. Would you sing that with me? Sing it with me. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful?